Green Dream, a podcast about ethical investing for positive impact and a better future. Join me, James Baird, as I interview fund managers, advisors, and a range of leaders in sustainability about topical environmental, social, and governance issues. We look forward to joining you on your ethical investment journey. Today our focus turns to property. Andrew Cole is head of ESG at Charter Hall, a prominent Australian property group that is once again highly rated in the Global Real Estate Benchmark or GRESB rankings. GRESB is widely considered to be the leading ESG assessment tool for real estate, providing a reporting framework for property portfolios and measurement of sustainability performance. It assesses an eye-watering $7.2 trillion US of gross asset value under management across 74 countries. In this episode, we discuss some of the various ESG initiatives which contribute to Charter Hall's high sustainability ranking compared to global peers. We'll explore how the commitment to sustainability isn't just greenwash, but is embedded in the company's culture. Andrew joined Charter Hall in 2021 from Lendlease, where he worked for more than 14 years. Prior to this, Andrew worked with the New South Wales Department of Planning, supporting sustainability policy for residential homes and industry engagement. I hope you enjoy this discussion with Andrew Cole of Charter Hall. We wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land we recorded on, the Wurundjeri Noongar people. We pay our respects to them and their culture, and elders past, present, and emerging. Andrew, thanks very much for your time today, and welcome to the Green Dream.
Thanks, James, for having me. It's a pleasure.
Tell us, how did you get into ESG and property? Was it sort of ESG first or property first?
Sustainability first and property always. So it's been really exciting. Prior to joining Charter Hall, I spent 14 and a half years with a large multinational Australian A-REIT, all in sustainability roles through asset creation and asset operations. So really excited.
And how have you seen the market change in that time?
I think definitely Australian real estate has been very fortunate to have rating tools, independent rating tools that help to measure and benchmark performance. And we're also a fairly collaborative sector here in Australia. So I've seen a significant growth and uptake in voluntary rating tools like Green Star, which is a rating tool that assesses the design and construction attributes of real estate and also measures performance and tracks performance as it relates to sustainability outcomes. And that's a tool that was created by the Green Building Council of Australia sort of back in 2007 and, you know, 2005, 2006, 2007. And I think the uptake in rating tools like that has really transformed and grown. And so has customer appetite for sustainability outcome across all sectors, but specifically property.
So tell us a bit about Charter Hall and then how ESG fits into Charter Hall.
So Charter Hall is a leading fully integrated property investment and funds management group. It has $71.9 billion of property funds under management as at June 30, 2023. And really, we use our expertise as a business to access, deploy, manage and invest equity across core real estate sectors. And for us, those sectors are industrial and logistics, office, retail and social infrastructure. And at the heart of Charter Hall's operations is a concept of mutual success. And pleasingly for us in our sustainability journey, environmental and social outcomes have been a hallmark of Charter Hall's history and growth. And we really place that purpose, our strategy and our stakeholders at the heart of our sustainability journey. For us, ESG is integrated into our decision-making. It's integrated into the way we set minimum standards for development projects when we're creating real estate. And it's integrated into the way we create strategic asset plans and manage those assets when they're operational and a part of our portfolios.
You mentioned social infrastructure there. A lot of our clients will be familiar with that portfolio because they're investing in it. But can you just explain what social infrastructure means?
Yeah, thanks, James. Our social infrastructure fund really looks at emergency services and the resilience of assets that support emergency response. It also is comprised of a portfolio of childcare for facilities and operators nationwide. And whilst we often don't have operational control of those assets, They're managed by our tenant customers. We definitely partner with our tenant customers to look at how we might be able to invest in or partner with environmental type upgrades and outcomes like solar.
And I'm interested in solar. It's an example of, I guess, the balance between profitability and returns for your investors and also positive impact and sustainability. Can you tell us a bit about how you think about solar?
Yeah, thanks, James. Charter Hall at June 30 reported a fairly large 63 megawatts of solar installed and deployed across our portfolio. As a group, really, I think one of the things that differentiates us is how we leverage our platform-wide scale to invest and replicate strategies and solutions like solar. For us as a group, 63% of that installed solar actually provides clean and affordable energy for our tenant customers. And so that's in asset classes like industrial and logistics, where we're really supporting the shared ESG outcomes and partnering with our tenant customers to meet their goals. And equally, we know that solar investment, we have just under 20 megawatts of solar deployed in our retail shopping center portfolio. That for us is about providing clean and affordable energy to our centers and supporting a lower operating cost, as well as achieving an environmental gain by having solar. So across our platform, we've gone from 4.6 megawatts of solar employed in FY19 to that 63 megawatts of solar deployed at June 30. So for us, it's about providing clean and affordable energy to assets where it makes sense, where we can generate it on site, and it supports our platform-wide goal of powering our operations by 100% renewables by 2025.
You must have been having conversations around power costs with all of your tenants in the last few years, particularly on the East Coast with power prices.
Yeah, James, I think you're absolutely right. When Charter Hall thinks about its decarbonisation strategy, we have five key steps for that. The first is a continued investment in energy efficiency. The second step for us is investment in on-site solar and storage, which we've just spoken about. The third, which really comes to the heart of your question, is around how we procure energy. And so again, through our FY22 period, we undertook a response for proposal within the energy market. And again, coming back to how we partner and use our platform-wide scale, we addressed the energy market and took our retail and office load predominantly and a small portion of industrial and logistics to the market. And as a group, we knew that we wanted to be procuring grid-supplied renewables and in doing so, investing in Australia's clean energy transition. And we partnered with ENGIE, a large European global renewable giant, an energy giant. And one of the key parts of that proposal, James, was a pricing conversation for energy price, as well as being linked to a portfolio of wind and solar projects. And we set that partnership up through the 2022 year, and we will partner with ENGIE moving forward for the next 7.5 years to power our operations where we rely on the grid with renewable energy.
So a lot of the solar panels in the world are made in China. We don't always get full transparency on exactly where they're made in China. How does that come into the conversation?
I think it's a really key point. When we are procuring, we ask the question as it relates to what technology is being installed, and we know that typically there's a level of screening that our supply chain will do. Traditionally, there are in many supply chains, there are tiers of quality providers, and where possible, we obviously are screening for tier one providers that are traditionally less at risk of social challenges and impacts, but it's a core challenge. And I think being aware of it and pleasingly part of an earlier comment I made was around how collaborative our sector is. As a sector, we come together around challenges like modern slavery as it relates to procurement challenges, and we look at models and platforms as to how we screen and look at contracting for that. But I think that will be a continued focus for our sector and for procurement, but it's definitely a consideration.
And so that modern slavery links to the workers in your properties as well, and is that a consideration?
Yeah, I mean, I think modern slavery in itself is about understanding risks and opportunities to partner within your supply chain. And for a sector like property, modern slavery really does appear where we have low-income based workers. And for property and facilities management, often there is a conversation around standards for cleaning and security contractors. And so as a group, we partner across our core sectors and with our property managers to look at how we contract, how we screen and partner with our supply chain to ensure that we're continuously monitoring and tracking topics like modern slavery. On an annual basis, like a lot of organisations, we prepare a modern slavery statement and we submit that to the Commonwealth Government, and that maps out our process and James, our modern slavery statement, just like our FY23 sustainability report and associated ESG data book are all available on our corporate website.
Great. And I understand you've got a reconciliation action plan on there as well.
We do. Charter Hall established its first reconciliation action plan and continues to evolve and grow its approach. At our FY23 results, one of our core targets for the year looking forward was around achieving the next level in our RAP journey, which is known as by Reconciliation Action Australia as an Innovate RAP, and certainly the way in which we engage with our employee base, the way that we partner with our supply chain, are key partnership opportunities through our RAP.
So I wanted to ask a bit about what net zero looks like for Charter Hall, what your plans are for net zero. I know you mentioned the 5-point decarbonisation plan, but how do you get that picture of and that timing of what net zero looks like across the group?
Yeah, thanks, James. We as a group set a target to be carbon neutral for Scope 1 and Scope 2 related emissions. And for your listeners, Scope 1 emissions are those direct emissions that we have in our operations. So they're the combustible fuels that we use to power our operations. And for Charter Hall, they are refrigerant top-ups in our HVAC and air conditioning and space cooling and heating systems. They are the gas that we use to heat hot water and to heat spaces through mechanical boilers traditionally. And there's a small amount of diesel top-up in Scope 1 for residual or backup generators. As a group, 97% of our Scope 1 emissions are in our office portfolio. Our Scope 2 related emissions are the emissions that are generated from the electricity that we use to power the sites that we have under our operational control. And those emissions are factored in from the generators to the network, which supplies that electricity to our sites. So our original goal was to achieve carbon neutral by 2030. Throughout financial year 22, we accelerated that by 5 years, and we brought that forward largely because we had taken a view that we wanted to be procuring renewable energy and have market linkage to that portfolio of projects that I mentioned earlier. And those Scope 2 related emissions are approximately 88 to 89% of our total Scope 1 and Scope 2 emissions. So from 1 July 2021, all of our office and industrial assets were powered by renewables, grid-supplied renewables. So that accounts for 80% of our Scope 1 and Scope 2 related emissions. And when we think about our Scope 1 emissions and that five-step plan I referred to earlier, the fourth and the fifth steps are really around how do we prepare for electrification of assets where there is underlying fossil fuel plant and equipment. And that will be linked to plant and equipment life cycle, end of life upgrades for plant and equipment. And we know that that'll take some time. And a key part of the fifth step then is offsetting. And how do we offset those residual emissions as an interim measure until such time as we've been able to fuel switch or transition away from fossil fuels? And for offsetting, we know that as an organisation, we want to have access to high integrity offsets. And we have chosen to partner with nature-based offset providers so that we're contributing to high quality Australian offsets where we require to use it. So that'll be a key, that fifth key step in our decarbonisation roadmap.
Yeah, that's been a bit of a controversial area, hasn't it? The offsets, and I guess we're just getting more transparency about the offset system.
Yeah, James, it's a great point, and I think we've seen a range of changes to Australia's carbon market and indeed global carbon markets. One of the things I referenced is how we as an industry come together, and through industry associations like the Property Council of Australia, like our membership of the Green Building Council of Australia, members of our sector are coming together and we're talking about those integrity offsets and how we get more transparency and disclosure around it. And at this stage, high integrity nature-based offsets feel like the ones that, you know, really do provide a high quality climate and carbon-based outcome.
It must be an interesting, I guess, commercial conversation now about looking at a property. Let's say it's in a CBD and it's in a prime location, but it's just old with poor design from a sustainability perspective, does not look good. How do you get involved in that? I guess, how do you assess? Is it a refit sort of conversation for a property like that, or you just walk away, or how do you treat it?
James, I think irrespective of the asset type, you simply can't manage what you don't measure. So we have a really robust process of measuring operational performance. We partner with independent rating tools to track our continuous improvement in areas like energy efficiency, et cetera. And that really helps us inform our strategic asset planning, where we'll invest in energy efficiency upgrades and get that return on investment, and how we reposition assets. And what we see is, we're very proud as an organisation to have Australia's largest footprint of independently certified and green rated space. And we use those green rating tools. So there's some 6.7 million square metres of real estate that we have under these independent rating tools. It helps us on our ESG journey. It helps us continuously improve. And also it supports, a really practical and authentic approach to the way that we want to share our ESG credentials and narrative. So I'd go back to, good management is managing what you can measure and how that then supports energy efficiency and place upgrades.
Tell us a bit about social programs. I understand you've done some pretty good positive impact work in that area.
Yeah, and this has been, again, something Charter Hall's done for a very long period of time. As an organisation, Charter Hall is quite proud to be Australia's first real estate company to join Pledge 1%, which is a way in which we allocate our community investment funding. And so the way that we think about that is it's 1% of our employees' time volunteering in the community. And pleasingly, FY23 was a record year for volunteering for our people. We offer our people 2 days of volunteering in the community with community partners. And in the year past, we recorded over 3,100 hours, which is a great outcome from our people. The second piece is how we invest in the community, and we take 1% of the fees we get, our management fees from funds under management, and we put that into a community investment budget. And we have a series of community partners that we invest in. And two key aspects of that strategy, James, are focusing in on employment outcomes and skilling opportunities for vulnerable Australians, with a specific focus on young Australians of all type. And the other aspect to our community investment pillar is partnering in communities that have faced or are facing hardship from natural disaster. And so that's where we allocate. And again, in the FY23 period, we had more than $1.4 million invested in and with community partners. And those community investments are really focused in around immediate relief from things like flooding events and bushfire events, but importantly, around long-lasting recovery. And the way that we think about that community investment, James, is around where we can have the most impact and how we partner with people to create long-lasting and enduring outcomes over time. And we're really proud of that.
Just on the natural disasters and, I guess, extreme weather events, that would affect your thinking on the property portfolio as well?
Yeah, I think climate-related risks and opportunities are something that is a lot of property companies are looking at, and that is both transitional-related risks in terms of energy and carbon and decarbonisation, and pleasingly, we've made some really strong headway in that regard, and the other is future climate-related risks at facilities and sites, and we apply an approach to testing physical exposure, like a number of our peers do.
Yeah, it's a very interesting one to watch. You've also done some work with some social enterprises like Too Good and so on.
Yeah, I mean, we have some great community partners that we partner with to drive good in our community. Too Good are originally a Sydney-based social enterprise that does a lot of work with women and families with lived experience of domestic violence. And they've been a long-standing partner of ours through our community investment fund. And over the years, to help them grow and scale, pleasingly, we've seen them enter our value chain. And for example, Too Good provides soap and hand sanitizers to our office portfolio in our bathrooms. And that's a great example of where a community partner and traditional social enterprise can actually become part of your value chain through social procurement. And we're really proud of that ongoing partnership that we have with Too Good.
Yeah, it's interesting talking about the work that you're doing at Charter Hall in the context of greenwashing across the Australian corporate sector. And in the podcast conversations I've had with various fund managers, we talk about culture quite a bit. And it sounds like in Charter Hall, sustainability is a core part of the culture. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, I think Charter Hall has a great culture and a really engaged workforce, and that helps us in being a fully integrated property and investment funds manager in real estate assets, but it also helps achieve and scale our sustainability outcomes. And for an organisation and a group like us, you're not able to leverage the platform-wide scale. You're not able to actively partner with your tenant customers unless all of your people are engaged in that conversation. And pleasingly, we're seeing ESG and sustainable outcomes really drive some great partnership opportunities with our customers. And I think that's evidenced in both the community partnerships that we have as a business, as well as some of the environmental initiatives that we've discussed, and solar rollout across our industrial footprint, our retail footprint, a great example of how we're actively partnering with our tenant customers to drive those outcomes. So as a business, really, really great to see our employees having those sustainable conversations with their customers and integrating it into everything they do.
Sounds like you've got a really busy role there, but tell us a bit about what you get up to when you're not talking about sustainability and property. What do you do in your spare time?
James, I'm the proud father of three kids. Olivia's 6, Jamie's 4, and Liam's 8 months old as at today. So that keeps me pretty busy, but I actually love getting out in nature. So I do a bit of trail running, and I love being in the surf and ocean. So they're the ways that they unwind, but Being a parent's keeping me pretty busy at the moment.
Sounds like it'd be very busy for you. I know that feeling. Andrew, really great to have a chat and learn a bit about Charter Hall. Look forward to future conversations, and thanks very much for that. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, James.
Thanks for listening to the Green Dream Podcast. For information on the ways that we can help you on your ethical investment journey, visit www.justinvest.net.au. Please keep in mind that the information contained in this podcast is of a general nature and does not take into account your personal circumstances. Past performance is not a reliable indicator of future results. You should consider obtaining personalised professional advice from a licensed financial planner before implementing any significant financial decisions. In the spirit of reconciliation, the Green Dream acknowledges the traditional custodians of country throughout Australia and their connections to land, sea and community. We pay our respects to their elders past, present and emerging, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people.